Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode number 61 from March the 27th of 1993. We are still in Sevierville or Sevierville. I don't know how to say it, Tennessee. Cadence Chapel Elementary. And goddamn, the last few weeks we've seen Arn come out with a white sheet and get unveiled as the Rock and Roll Express's mystery partner. We saw a fucking white man try to murder a black, Japanese man with a spike, stuck it straight through his bicep, causing over 200 stitches. And I guess Cadence Chapel, sometimes they may use this as a church. So this church has seen some sinners in the last few weeks, so to say. With that said, again, it's episode 61, March 27th of 1993. Mike and Doc are here, along with Hardbody Harper. Harper, how you doing this week, man?
What's up, bro? Doing all right. Ready to kick some fucking ass.
Are you tired? I'm tired.
Yeah, fucking fuck this shit.
Bro, we've been
I'm
at this
too. I'm not ready to kick some ass. I'm ready to go home and...
jerk off?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fuck.
Leave the studio and get you, beat your meat, right?
Fuck it, bitch.
All right. Book it. All right, y'all. That was it. That was episode 61. Book it, bitch. If you want the full version of this show, you have to become a patron. No, we're just kidding on that one. The reason Harper said that, we told you last week we had recorded a world-class episode, in which we did, and we are tired. So that's why. We've been at this for now almost 3 hours. Okay. So we're in Sevierville or Sevierville.
Hi.
Oh, yeah. How you doing, Doc? You all right?
Well, you apparently stuck me in the corner of the Smoky Mountain sweatshop, and you forgot about me, you motherfucker.
My bad. Glad you're doing well, though. Okay.
Hey, but you, I like Harper and you, though. I go all night, pal. I'm Ric Flair. I'm Ric Flair of this operation. So I'm fresh. I'm invigorated. I'm energized. And I'm ready to talk about Smoky Mountain wrestling.
You don't have bronchitis or laryngitis. You're energized and ready to rock and roll, brother.
I unlike Rick, I got my whole colon, so let's do this thing.
Bro, we got a coworker who has claimed to have bronchitis and laryngitis at least 8 times in the last 2 years. It's a fucking miracle this person's still alive. Live, laugh, and love, everyone.
I'd give her an AIDS test to make sure that immune system's working, but that's just me.
Oh, God. Okay.
What?
So Dutch and Bob open a show, and Dutch's sign says, "Warning, watch this show at your own risk." I kind of feel like that should have been the sign last week, Harper. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for real, huh?
Maybe it was, and they messed it up.
That's true. What if that did happen? You would have no way to know, because I think he's got the same clothes on, and so does Bob. So I wouldn't. Yeah, maybe they mixed it. No, they didn't mix it, because then they open up with a different opening. So, and then they also say Down and Dirty today will feature Kevin Sullivan, which is just kind of crazy in its own right. Yeah, it's insane. And then the Beat the Champ TV title match will be Tim Horner versus Bobby Eaton. Doc, thoughts from the opening? Anything?
Well, my point was kind of to what we just said about the signs is, after last week, I think we're all at risk of being butchered. I'm kind of worried about everybody on the roster.
I think after last week, man, we all need to make sure we don't have hepatitis C or B or,
you know, Wally
HIV.
Yamaguchi, whatever his name, came out and said, "Kevin Sullivan's going to pay, man." If I was on the roster, I'd be like, "Kevin Sullivan is the greatest of all time. I love him. Yes, sir. No, sir."
Offer any thoughts to that?
Fuck that, bro. What the fuck?
He stabbed him. Harper, how much money would it take for you to take a stabbing like Kevin Sullivan took last week?
None?
No dollar
no.
amount?
No.
Somebody dangled
dumb.
$10 million in front of your face. Would you take
it? Oh, $10 million? Yeah.
Well, none. My point. There you go. Okay. We'll get into the show. We got Reno Riggins and Linfield up first versus Robert Fuller and Jimmy Golden from the Stud Stable. I've said this a few times, but goddamn, Fuller and Golden are just two big dudes. Man, they make Riggins and Fields look like a couple of fucking midgets. Fuller and Golden manhandle these two. I mean, they just manhandle them like they're toy action figures. Less than 3 minutes, Fuller puts the Fuller leg lock on Fields. He puts it on Fields, I should say, and then the Stud Stable get the win. Doc, any thoughts from that match?
First is, how can Fuller and Golden be heels? They are what every hillbilly wishes they could be. Beer drinking, slap them around, rough guys.
Well, You're right. But the only reason they're not is because
they told you they're not.
They tell you they're not, but they kind of straddled a line. Because, you know, like Harper's talked a lot about over the last few weeks, you know, are they turning face? Or last few months, I should say.
Yeah.
But really, it's not that they're turning. The more that I think about it as you ask that question, it's almost like they straddled a line a little bit, too. I don't know. That's my thought.
Well, Harper, and my other quick note here was that Fuller leg lock is something, pal.
Yeah, man. It is. It's something different.
Sure is.
Mm-hmm.
It almost looks like a figure four in a way, the way his legs are.
But he even says, he goes, you expect him to roll backwards, but he rolls forwards. They showed it like four times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agree.
It's one of those moves like Petey Williams, Canadian Destroyer, that you're like, you got to watch it a couple times to go, what exactly am I seeing here?
That's true. Harper, your thoughts on the match, if any?
They just kicked ass.
Pretty much.
That's it.
So after the match, the Stud Stable cut a promo, and here is that.
All right, Dutch, and right you are. And fans, let's get the Stud Stable over here. Jimmy Golden, Robert Fuller, this Friday night. You know, we got the Bluegrass Brawl.
Talk about Friday night. Yeah. Pikeville, Kentucky.
Yes, sir.
The last time I was in Pikeville, Kentucky, I swore that'd be my last time in Kentucky, brother. But I'm coming back one more time. I wouldn't miss this one for the world, brother. When we got a street fight with them beautiful heavenly bodies and the rock and roll and Arn Anderson boys, this is our chance for the Stud Stable to take it all home. We beat all you punks before, and we can do it again right there in Pikeville, Kentucky. Big hero superstars. You know something? My mama saw me on TV a couple weeks ago, said, Robert, don't kill yourself, kill somebody else. Buster, I got just the match to get it done. I'm going to be guaranteeing you big-time superstars, yeah, baby. You coming, yeah, down to Tennessee dog-fighting country. Yeah. And, Daddy, you best be able to do it.
All right, fans, it's going to be the Bluegrass Brawl.
They're ready. They're ready.
And Dutch says they're ready. And I'm sure they are. They're all going to be ready. The Bluegrass Brawl.
God damn. Just a reminder. When Fuller says his mama told him don't kill himself but to kill someone else, that was referring to a couple weeks ago when Fuller said he wasn't going to do the Von Erich thing. As always, Fuller and Golden are looking for a fight and to whoop some ass, and I thought this was great. Harper, what did you think about this?
That shit was a good fucking line.
Hell yeah, hell yeah.
Don't kill yourself, man. Kill someone else. Fuck them.
I thought so too. Doc, what did you think?
Yeah, I was like, man, Stud's awful preoccupied with death these days. I hope he's not having an existential crisis or anything. But, I mean, he's a Fuller. And just like we've heard his brother on the flagship show recently, I could listen to Fullers talk about wrestling and cut promos all day long.
Sure can. I thought it was good. They're ready for a fight, bro. That's just what they do. And they do it well. The next matchup is Primetime Brian Lee versus Larry Santo. Primetime Brian Lee comes in there like he's a heel. I mean, he's in there straight for the attack on Santo. Did you catch that, Harper?
Yeah, he pulled a Jimmy Valiant and just fucking got in the ring and started beating the shit out of him when he's supposed to be a face.
Yeah, and then he hits his finishing move in like 90 seconds and gets the win. Doc, your thoughts?
57 seconds. I said, that's a Magnum level action right there. But even more than him being a heel, I thought he was super sloppy in this match. I had three different times where I thought he did something that was really, really just either he missed or at one point could have hurt the guy. So I thought Primetime Brian Lee better get his head in the game because he's getting ready to get filleted.
Filleted. Yeah, pretty much. So which leads into, after the match, they show a recap of Primetime Brian Lee and Kevin Sullivan from Knoxville, which they say took place on March the 21st of 1993. With Sullivan, it's a Russian roulette match where there are four boxes on each corner of the ring. The goal is to look in each box and find Sullivan's spike. So in the match, there's some crazy shenanigans that goes on with where the Night Stalker hits the ring to interfere. But then Horner hits the ring to stop the Night Stalker. But then the Tasmaniac interferes. Yes, Taz. ECW Taz. WWE Taz from later on. And from there, Sullivan does get the spike, but Primetime Brian Lee gets it from him. But as Primetime Brian Lee is about to spike Sullivan,
Sullivan throws some fire at him again, and Sullivan once again defeats Primetime Brian Lee. Doc, your thoughts before we go to Primetime Brian Lee's promo?
It's like, hey, Taz is even short back then.
That's all you had?
No, he threw a fireball, dude. Come on.
Yeah.
Fireballs are always great. Here's my exact note. It said fireball in all caps with 3 exclamation points after it. I love fucking fireballs. It's a great fucking visual up there with green mist. He went, I was like, he's getting ready to take that spike. He's getting ready. Bullshit. He's got a fucking fireball.
Offer, what did you think?
Yeah, I didn't expect a fucking fire paper.
That was the original thing he hit PBL, Primetime Brian Lee, with when he first came in. So, I didn't expect it either, but it happened, and once again, Primetime Brian Lee gets one-upped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so after that, they do cut back to the building where now Primetime Brian Lee is going to cut a promo.
Kevin Sullivan.
All right, fans, with me right now, here's Primetime Brian Lee. Brian, we just took a look at some of the things that happened in Knoxville. So it's a return Russian roulette match with Kevin Sullivan Friday night in Pikeville.
That's exactly right, Bob. Kevin Sullivan, this Friday night in Pikeville, Kentucky, it's a Russian roulette match. Yes, you're the sick, demented one that come up with this stupid thing. But Primetime Brian Lee's asking for it this time. Kevin Sullivan, I want the Russian roulette match. I want to roll the dice. I want to take you to the depths of hell where you belong. And Kevin Sullivan, Friday night, turn that chamber and put it to your head, because I'm going to blow your head right off your body.
Friday night in Pikeville, fans, damn. The Bluegrass Brawl. We'll be back. We'll have more right after this.
God. He just basically told him he was going to shoot him.
Yeah. He sounds pissed.
Wrestling the way it used to be and the way we like it, or family friendly?
Both. No.
He just told Sullivan to shoot his complete fucking head off.
Well, we've come a long way since February of 1992 right now, right?
Sure have. Jesus.
Oh, boy. Harper, what did you think?
He sounds pissed, and he's it's almost like he's shooting, because he's like, you came up with this stupid fucking shit, and I'm just going to blow your fucking head off. Fuck you.
That might be his best one.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to shoot him. Yeah, and he's going to shoot him to end it all. He's so, look, bro, I'm tired of you blading me. I'm tired of you making me bleed. I'm just going to shoot you, bro. Fuck you. He didn't say it like that, but yeah. Okay. Doc, what notes do you have on the local promo that's next?
Just the I don't know if you want to play or not, but Corny was just shooting on the marks, calling them welfare recipients and whatnot.
Here, I'll play his part real quick, because it's not long. Here it is.
Pretty white boy, and it's a Smoky Mountain showdown. Anything goes. 3 teams all in the ring at the same time. The Stud Stable, the Rock and Roll Express, and the Enforcer Arn Anderson, and the Heavenly Body.
You know, you talk about tag team wrestling, you talk about big events. This is the biggest thing that ever hit the state of Kentucky. I ought to know, because I'm from Kentucky. And I'm sick and tired of the people of Eastern Kentucky, and Pikeville in specific, giving the state of Kentucky a bad name. You bunch of stinking welfare recipients. I think about you people like I think about chewing gum on the sole of my shoe. I scrape your opinions off, and I continue on. But in the Bluegrass Brawl, brothers, the Smoky Mountain Showdown, 3 teams, 9 men, street fight rules, anything goes. Bring anything you want to the ring and do anything you want to with it. Only the strong will survive. Robert Fuller, Jimmy Golden, Dutch Mantel, the Stud Stable, the Rock and Roll Express, and the Enforcer Arn Anderson, and Jim Cornette's Heavenly Body, Stan Lane, Bobby Eaton, and Tom Pritchard. It's a who's who of tag team wrestling. There's about 16 different combinations of former world tag team champions in that bunch. It's some of the biggest stars in professional wrestling. But what's more important, some of the meanest men I've seen, Arn Anderson, pick people apart, piece by piece and bit by bit. I promise you, Stud Stable, Rock and Roll, Arn Anderson, you better watch out for the bodies at the brawl.
That was better than I thought that I had in my notes. I love the part about the chewing gum and scraping him off the bottom of his foot. Cornette loves attacking the hillbillies. That's for damn sure. Harper, did you have any notes from it?
No, I mean, to me, it was typical Cornette.
I agree. Doc, you?
Yeah, burying the fucking white trash people and all.
That's what he does. He's still doing it to this day. Except it ain't a pro. He fucking means it. Doc, anything from you?
No, he was just shooting on the marks, dude.
The marks. Like I told you. Mark. Love when you use that
what,
insert.
Is that what you told? Is that what you told Ron Fuller when he called them marks?
Ron Fuller and you are two different people, asshole.
We both run deep in this game.
Yeah, you do. Okay, so Dirty White Boy is training for his chain match. Now, this is very, very interesting. So let's play it. Now might be the time to take a piss if you have to.
Fans, the Dirty White Boy is in training for the Tennessee chain match this Friday that's going to take place against Tracy Smothers. Right now, let's take a look at this tape and see how the Dirty White Boy trains for this match.
As you can see, I'm right in the middle of Central Park. Ain't it beautiful? You know, we got Trump Plaza over here. We got Brooklyn over here. And we got muggers over there. You know, there's a few things you need when you come around New York City. You need to pack your lunch. You need to bring you a good book. And your old faithful peacemaker. Now, you know, Tracy Smothers, there's a lot of things coming up real soon. And one of those things is a chain match. You see, the reason I'm here is Mr. Wright has sent me out to train. To train real, real hard with this right here. To make the man proud, because Ron Wright never in his entire career lost a chain match. Well, I'm not about to be the man to bring shame on this chain. Because you see, I brought a few things with me that kind of reminds me of Tracy Smothers. You know, like that old melon head. Right there. Don't that just look like Tracy Smothers? Yeah, buddy. And I bought a big old sack of flour. Looky there. Yeah, for that lily white, gutless, nothing happening individual. And then, oh, breakfast of champions. Because, you know, I found out Tracy Smothers is full of this. That's the reason the boy can't wrestle one bit. And I'll be damned if the man can beat me with this chain match. You understand what I'm saying, Smothers? You take a real good close look. A lot of things can happen when you get in that ring. I can wrap this around my fist, and I can beat your stinking brains in till you're a bloody pulp. And the only way to win is drag your opponent and touch all four corners. You're looking at 245 pounds of pure nothing but man, baby. Do you think you can drag me around, Smothers? I don't think so, Southern boy. Oh, and I almost forgot. Got a big old sack of dirt. For all you East Tennesseans and all the Smoky Mountain area people, because that's what you got under your fingernails. That's what you got in your pockets. That's what your old lady's got in her lip. It's nothing but dirt. You're a bunch of stinking, nothing happening people. And Tracy Smothers, you're going down at the hands of the white boy. You know, Tracy Smothers, this big thing of flour right here reminds me of your lily white guts, boy. And you know what I'm going to do to you, pal? Look here. Take a good look. Look at that.
Beating the flour bag.
Think about it, Tracy. Think about that. And you know what else? Look here, melon head. Take a real good look, boy. Huh? Don't that look pretty? That looks like Tracy Smothers' big old head. Yeah. Anybody for some Smothers? Oh, and I hear you like your women a little thorny, little bushy, don't you, boy? Huh? Well, come on, Smothers. All you got to do is show up, punk. Right here. You want to be full of it? Huh? You want to be full of it? Huh? Well, I'm going to get you full of it, punk. Because what's going to happen when you show up in this chain match, punk, is just what happened right here. I'm going to beat your stinking skull out, and then I'm going to shove this chain straight down your throat. That's from me to you. All you've got to do, you gutless punk, is show up.
See, the only bad thing about that is the audio doesn't display how utterly insane it really is. You know what I mean, Doc?
Didn't watch it.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
White boy pulls a fucking pistol out within the first 20 seconds of the promo. And then
I was like, run, Tracy, run. That motherfucker's got a gun. Shit.
And then it's ridiculous.
Goddamn pistol out.
He pulls a pistol out and he looks so fucking stupid.
and insane. I mean, it's good. It's stupid in a good way. Yankees hat, chain around his neck, camo pants, black T-shirt tucked into the camo pants with his pistol sitting in his waistline the whole time. I remember the first time I saw this, I was like, is he going to fucking pull that gun out and shoot the beer bottle? This was insane. Harper, what did you think watching this?
Dude, if he would have shot that pistol off, like just shot a couple rounds off of the air, that would have been fucking great.
I agree. I wanted him to pull a pistol out and start shooting.
If you're going to pull it out, you better use it.
Yeah.
Yeah, long. Oh boy, you ain't kidding about that.
Don't pull your thing unless you're ready to bang.
Okay, slanging.
If you can't get along, you got to get on.
That's right. That's right. Okay, anything else, Doc, from that?
Yeah, I mean, so you had told me several months ago that you'd gotten up to the point where they renounced the South, and I'm like, have you seen the one promo out in the woods? You're like, no, not yet. This is the one I've been was waiting to get to, because this is the one that popped me back in the day. We're out here in Central Park. Central Park, Tennessee, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Trump Plaza's over here. Yeah. The looters are over there. The robbers are over there.
He's talking about reading a good book down in Central Park.
Motherfucker, are you in Central Tennessee with pine trees all around your ass? Or, I mean, not pine trees, but trees around your ass.
He called Smothers a drunk, where 8 months ago we got a vignette of him brushing his teeth back of a bus in a junkyard. I say it all the time. I love it when you get off site and do vignettes. Mm-hmm. And this is just awesome.
Yeah. Oh, this was good. This was funny. I mean, it was just good. You know, he was coming. You know, Tracy cut that one off site a few weeks back, and this one was good. I like this. This was solid. Harper, anything else from you?
This was great, and it's another example of things you can't do in 2017.
Yeah, can you imagine somebody going off site?
Pistol, Budweiser, beer.
Well. Brian Pillman pulled one out and shot it on air once.
That's yeah. In the late 90s, early 2000s.
Like 20 years ago.
And yeah. it didn't go well. It got right. A lot of heat.
Uh-huh.
Imagine now. Hell, I mean, you can't even do, you know, this is a few weeks later than when this aired on WWE, but I listened to that promo everybody was up in arms about from Jinder Mahal, basically making quote-unquote making, I don't want to call them racial, but making off-color yeah. jokes about Shinsuke Nakamura, and people are mad. Well, what the fuck? It's wrestling. What do you want people to do? We offend people in wrestling. That's like a rule in wrestling. Go offend somebody. Get some heat. Nah, you can't do that no more because it doesn't stand with corporate values. What are we doing then? Why are we even doing this? Why do we even have a promotion if we're worried about offending people? That's part of wrestling, assholes.
Well, and if pulling out a gun or a rebel flag offends you, or us making fun of the rebel flag offends you, I got to tell you, you got hard times coming next year when we get into the gangsters in the promotion, because that shit's going to be real offensive to your health.
Well, it just kills me. I mean, Steve Austin can make a movie and use the N-word and call Nelly the N-word, and it's entertainment. But wrestling, which is a form of entertainment and a performance in itself, Jinder Mahal makes a couple of comments. And I'm not saying Austin was wrong. That's fine for the movie. But Jinder does what he does, and we're mad? Well, not us, but society? Get the fuck out of here. That's what's wrong with that whole company and wrong with everything about the current scene right now. That bullshit, because it wasn't that offensive.
But this is the same company that let Triple H have sex with a dead girl and sent Edge and Lead out there to basically dry hump in the ring.
Somebody needs to fucking take Triple H and take that sledgehammer and shove it up his fucking ass is what needs to happen. Fuck him and the horse he rode in on.
All right. Wow. Let's get back to Tracy Smothers versus Jeff Daniels, pal.
Okay, so yeah, get back to the match. My favorite part of this was when Dutch said two things. One was when Dutch was talking about how Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright denounced their Southern heritage, and then when Dirty White Boy came in to put it into this, because it was a rough match, was it not?
Yeah, it was just like nothing was terrible, but it just wasn't right either.
Yeah.
It was Jeff Daniels. It wasn't on Tracy. I want to say that.
Yeah.
Maybe you know Jeff Daniels Jeff Daniels may be suffering from post-concussion syndrome after getting his head split open 2 months ago.
That's true. Sullivan cracked him in the back of the head and opened him up pretty damn good. Harper, what were you saying?
Yeah, the fucking jobbers have, like, they've like, kind of, I don't know, lowered their standards because who was the guy?
Paul
Kazanza.
Lee.
Yeah, Paul Lee, Kazanza. Those guys are gone. And
Arnie Angel, Ben Jordan.
Right.
Hey, you think Arnie Anderson's cheap, pal? Somebody's got to get a reduction in pay.
You know what?
That's true. The jobbers lately, you make a good point, because Kazanza and even Reno Riggins and Tommy Angel, Paul Lee.
I think Reno got a raise, huh?
Reno must have, yeah, a little bit.
Up the ladder, yeah.
So you're right, though. There's the jobbers have been a little bit on the lackluster side lately. Mm-hmm. I agree. Okay, any other thoughts from this match that Tracy won, Dirty White Boy comes in and gets some heat on him. Any thoughts on the match, though, Doc?
No, ma'am.
All right. Harper, you?
Nope.
All right, Tracy cuts a promo right here. Let's go to it after the match.
All right, fans, with us right now here is Tracy Smothers. Tracy, the white boy from behind again with a chin. Looked like he tried to choke the life right out of you with it.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Mr. Cottle. Hey, white boy, that's a good thing for you to be wearing that New York Yankees hat and that New York Yankees shirt, because you're just like a stinking Yankee. You got to jump everybody from behind.
I know you're having a hard time talking.
You're darn right I am. Hey, white boy, I'm looking right at you, man. This Friday night, you will not be coming from behind. It's going to be straight up. I'm going to load my lip with some dip, and I'm going to jack some jaw, Southern style. Friday night, I'm going to kick some ass, big boy, and that's the bottom line.
All right, fans, we're going to be back.
He likes that load my lip with some dip. Okay. Oh, boy. Harper, your thoughts on Tracy?
He's fucking pissed, man.
He's pissed.
And you notice how much they popped when he said, "You're just like a fucking Yankee"?
Yeah.
Bro, they love that shit.
Are Yankees known for that? I mean, I don't like Yankees, but that's not why.
I mean, don't turn your back on them.
Right.
They're back jumpers.
Yeah, if they're from Minnesota or something, fuck that.
Yeah, that was weird, man. I was like, but the people popped on it. They went nuts.
You don't have to tell people from that part of the country the truth. You just have to tell them what they want to hear.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay, Doc. Wow. Okay, so anything else, Doc, from that?
He's just the average guy who's trying to get his shot at the gold, and he's keep getting screwed, and he's mad about it, and all these fucking fucknuts think they can relate to it.
Yeah, I agree.
Man, if I kept getting screwed by the boss down at the plant, maybe I could be the boss. You know what I'm saying? Meanwhile, the boss comes in and goes, "We're moving everything overseas because you lug nuts can't do shit."
Bro, that might be the funniest thing you've ever done on this show. Okay, so after that Tracy promo, we got another bluegrass brawl build up with the banjo playing. No, we're not listening. And then we go from that to Down and Dirty with Dutch and Kevin Sullivan. Now, Doc, you want to set the scene for this with where we are and where this session is taking place and what the scene looks like before I hit play on it?
Yeah, so I had forgotten this until I saw it, and then I remembered what I was looking at. Because it has been about a year and a half since I've watched this. So it starts with, like, Dutch in a dark area with a flashlight to his face, and he's in a secret location. But when the camera pulls back, he's sitting, well, we don't call it Indian style anymore. That's wrong. You got to call it, the kids call it today, crisscross applesauce. That's what it's called.
That's what it's called now, for real?
Yeah, you can't say Indian style. That's offensive. You can't get heat in the classrooms anymore.
You're kidding.
No. That's what it's called, dude. Because I told my kid, I said, "Why are you sitting Indian style?" He goes, "What are you talking about? This is crisscross applesauce." I was like, "Sorry, shit."
I'm not trying to be insensitive serious?
Put that right between faggot and retard, between the two words I can't say anymore.
Faggot,
Okay.
It goes right between them if we're talking about alphabetizing all the words that I mean, shit, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings and shit. I won't say it. This show is so off of it now, it's hard to get back on. But Dutch is in the ring. He's sitting with his legs crossed. He's got a flashlight up to his face. He's got a microphone. And he's telling us he's pre-law, pre-med, pre-history, pre-psych, psychology. And Sullivan is laying flat in his back like this is a therapy session with a flashlight up to his face. The lights in the arena are out. And Dr. Dutch is going to do a therapy session. So there you go.
All right. Here it is.
Welcome to a special edition of Down and Dirty with Dutch. I'm Dutch Mantel, and unfortunately, you're not. A lot of people don't know this, but I have a pre-law background, a pre-med background, and also some pre-psychiatry courses behind me, too. So I figured if Smoky Mountain Wrestling is paying the bill for Kevin Sullivan's psychiatric treatment, I think I might as well get in on the action myself. Now, we're in a secluded place right now, and the master is with me right now for his psychiatry session with me, I might add. But we're in a secluded place because Mr. Sullivan believes there are people following him.
Can I call you Dr. Dutch?
Yes, that would be very appropriate. Call me Doctor.
I like calling you Dr. Dutch.
Well, thank you very much. State your name and occupation.
Kevin Sullivan, the master.
The master of what?
The master of the wrestling universe.
The master of the wrestling universe. Now, let me ask you a question right now. Do you believe that you yourself personally and your followers are being bothered or hindered by Smoky Mountain Wrestling in achieving your goals?
Well, Smoky Mountain Wrestling has tried to hinder me every step of the way. They've tried to block me. In fact, they have people follow me all the time.
Who's following you?
They are.
Who are they?
Those people that are following me.
Do they have a name?
They're mindless and faceless people, Dutch. You've probably seen them yourself. They drive around in brown LTDs with Missouri license plates.
A brown LTD with Missouri license plates? Mm-hmm. I think I've seen that following me around, Kevin. I think they may be following me, too. But let me ask you something. You have some series of matches coming up with Brian Lee, and I got him right here on paper. Now, you've submitted these, right? By the roll of the dice, correct?
Lady Luck.
Okay, let me ask you some of these matches, and you just make a brief comment on it. It's called the Prince of Darkness match. Both men will wrestle while blindfolded.
It's one of my favorites. You see, Dutch, I dwell in darkness. I enjoy darkness. I've always have. You see, I believe that the world is split up of children in the light and the men of darkness. And I've always believed in my dreams that the children in the light always go down a dark tunnel. And just before they get to the end of the tunnel, darkness falls on them and ends their career.
Okay, let me ask you this. That's a real good answer there. What about the stretcher match? To win, your opponent must be carried out on a stretcher?
You know, it's like that's when you go and buy a car wreck or some great event that just sends chills up your spine, a train wreck, or, you know, just something that makes your day. See, there isn't a referee. The only way you can win the match is your opponent has to get carried out in the ring of a stretcher. It's one of the greatest matches I've ever thought up.
What about this one? The handicap match. If he rows the number 3, Brian Lee will face you and the Night Stalker 2-on-1, all 3 men in the ring at the same time.
See, he's dancing with Lady Luck again. If he throws it and it ends up 3, he ends up wrestling me and the 6'10" Night Stalker, a man that would lay down his life for me.
Okay, ring surrounded by fire. I've never seen this before. You see on your screen, ladies and gentlemen, a tape of the match of this type held in Japan. The entire ring would be surrounded in flames, and there's never been a match like that in the United States. Why fire, Kevin?
Why fire? Fire will purge you of any sins that you have. Fire will purge you and make you clean. And see, Brian Lee, you're full of hatred towards me. See, you're full of aggressions, Brian Lee. I kind of hope that we do have the fire match because it's never been seen in the United States, and I could purge Brian Lee like that.
The next match, Kevin, we're almost through here. Let me see. It's called a Singapore spike match. A box will be placed on top of the ring post. Only one box would contain the golden spike, and the first man to get the spike may use it any way he wants. Your comments on that one and why?
You see, on each ring post, there's a box, but only one box has the golden spike in it. And because the golden spike is mine, I have special vibes to it. I would know it was.
Okay, let me ask you this. I don't want to rush here. But the last one is the Brian Lee's choice match. Any type of match Brian wants with any rules if he rolls number 6.
What kind of choice could Brian Lee have facing me? What kind of choice? What kind of choice? What kind of choice? What kind of choice?
That's it.
All right, then.
I don't even know where to start. Doc, you're good at this. What do you think?
I am good at this. You should save that and just play it all the time. It works in every scenario.
Okay.
This is so far my favorite Kevin Sullivan promo up until now. This is the best one, in my opinion, he's done. I don't give a shit if vaccines or whatever. That was fine, too.
What about the one falling out the tree?
Nah. This one was better because he was talking about things that make him happy, like car wrecks and train wrecks and shit. And it was just that he was calm. And it's just, that's another side of this character, that he's just calm but insane, that I loved. And so I thought this was great. I thought this was awesome. He thinks he's being persecuted. That's as great as the millions of white folks in this country that they're currently think they're being persecuted these days. It's
you
just
gotta
laughable.
Make it racial. You got to make it racial all the time.
I know.
You got to make it a race issue. You can't contain yourself.
I'm a race traitor.
You're a race baiter, is what you are. Harper,
you just went on a diatribe about how we should be able to use race to draw heat.
We should.
And then you get mad at me. Well,
it's wrestling. You're not a wrestler. Right. You've never
this
had anything to do with this business.
I'm an industry insider who frequently covers events.
Get the fuck out of here, Harper. Your thoughts on this?
I think Armstrong probably drives a brown LTD. It was like a little rib to him.
I can see that. I don't know if it's true, but yeah, that would be pretty good. Yeah, I can see that. What else you got?
And if fucking Dutch could be, look, I took some psychology classes at fucking UNO. So, I mean, fuck. Can I go help people? That fucking crazy.
I got a doctorate in this shit, and I don't think I could help Kevin Sullivan.
No.
Sullivan's nuts. Before there was Bray Wyatt or Mankind that was doing this shtick, there was Kevin Sullivan doing it. Because everything I saw right there was better than any fucking Bray Wyatt promo I've ever seen. And I'm not down on Bray Wyatt. I haven't seen his stuff in a while now, but like, when I watched this, I was like, that's what Bray should be.
But, yeah, I've been saying that for years, but you know what the other difference is?
What?
How many times have you seen Kevin Sullivan's shoulders on the mat, 1, 2, 3, versus Bray Wyatt?
Well, yeah, that's true, too. It just don't happen.
He's not
Bray
credible
Wyatt.
As a...
Hey,
he's
if you
want to
see Bray Wyatt
crazy.
Pin... If you want to see Bray Wyatt take a pin, just tune into almost any WWE pay-per-view.
Right. So how can he be credible as crazy? He's just a loser.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Well, no, he's not a loser personally. It's just the way they book him.
His character is a loser.
So after that, after what we just...
Dude, he's knocking out JoJo. He ain't a loser.
Bro, he is far from a loser. He fucking outkicked his coverage on that one. If he banged that shit...
Right.
God damn. So after that, allegedly banged her. Let me say that. Before people go, allegedly. After that, the Arn Anderson and the Rock and Roll Express and Bullet Bob Armstrong come out, and they're going to cut a promo now. So here it is. Arn's got his Four Horsemen t-shirt on.
Fans with me right now here at the Rock and Roll Express, Arn Anderson and Commissioner Bob Armstrong. Commissioner, we're having a lot of problems lately in Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
You know, I'm the first to admit that Smoky Mountain needs a good house cleaning. I've tried finding these guys. I've even suspended Paul Orndorff indefinitely. But what these guys need is action. forced action. That's what they're going to get. Now, primetime Brian Lee's going to get his shot at Kevin Sullivan, but in case he don't get the job done, I've got a line a mile long just wanting to crawl through the ring and find him $5,000. His followers came up with the money. I hadn't got to that guy yet, but it ain't over. But next Friday night at the Bluegrass Brawl, brother, is going to be something to see. Three teams, nine men go into the ring. As one man gets beat, his whole team is eliminated. Yep. The last team in the ring will be the winner, and we'll finally see who's the toughest of them all. It's going to be like the law of the jungle. Survival of the fittest. Only the strong shall survive. The Great Smoky Mountain Showdown is going to be something to see in Pikeville.
And I know there's a team right here that is planning on being the one surviving.
That's right. The showdown is going to come down to it now. You see, with this combination right here, Jimmy Cornette, the Stud Stable, we don't care what it takes, because when that match is over, this team right here is going to be the team left in the ring.
Arn, I know you feel that it's really going to happen, and it's going to happen Friday night.
Well, I'm no master mathematician, but the way it breaks down is like this. It's three groups of three.
Yep.
I've always said there's safety in numbers. So, Cornette, you're the fourth guy. Well, I've had this strange cramping in my arm. It's been going on the last couple of weeks. Maybe it means something, maybe it doesn't. But it's been cramping in its position like this. Maybe some of these people out here can remember what this means. It's called the symbol of excellence. In the 80s, as in the 90s, it meant one other thing. You want a collection of broken bones? You want to get hurt? Then you jump on the horseman. I've heard Ricky Morton in my career. I've heard Robert Gibson. They have returned in kind many times. But you see, in my stupidity out here harping about my former friendship with Bobby Eaton, I forgot about the other team. Dutch Mantell, yeah. Jimmy Golden, Robert Stable. Fuller, the Stud Stable. Yeah. And Robert Fuller's been out here running his mouth about how he's going to get to my bad leg. Well, Robert Fuller, I thrive on pain. There's a little old idiosyncrasy in the back of my mind that the more I get hurt, the more I like it. Maybe it was some girl from St. Louis that instilled that to me one night. But one thing I can guarantee, the three of you, or the six of you, on this given night, somebody's going to get hurt. No ring will contain it. No ring should contain it. Anyone with children, leave them at home. Wow. Somebody's going to have to bow out. Any of the six of you want to take a powder, go ahead, because the life you save may be your own.
All right, fans.
That's right, Bob. You know, you talk about the Stud Stable. You know what you do to a stud, Arn? You gild them, baby. That's the only way to take care of them. And that's what's going to happen, because Jimmy Golden, Robert Fuller, and Dutch Mantell, we haven't forgotten about all the things that you've done to us, too. So, baby, we'll be waiting on you right there in Pikeville.
All right, the Bluegrass Brawl, fans, it all comes down.
I love when Morton... When Arn said something about that woman, and Morton was like, oh, yeah. Doc, your thoughts?
Arn was on it, and you could tell this was like, this is the go-home promo. I wonder if Corny was like, no, don't say that when he said leave the children at home. But it was an effective thing to say. I'm just wondering, for business, was it the right thing to say?
I don't know how many children were watching this next week after Kanemura got fucking bladed the way he did.
I don't know. How many times did you watch wrestling with your parents didn't know what you were watching and shit, dude?
Yeah.
Come on. True, but at the same time, I never saw a man get stabbed in his arm wrestling.
Well, but that doesn't mean parents were stopping it. Shit, I was in my room listening to Van Halen singing about running with the devil and shit while I was watching people get busted open in wrestling. Well,
I guess you got a point there.
Back in the day, you could get away with shit, dude. I'm surprised I didn't start smoking when I was like 11 or 12.
That's nice. That's nice. Yeah.
I don't understand if it's just an empty threat here of the fourth guy when he's bringing up the four horsemen shit. But the line that's the gem is the life you save may be your own.
That was a good one. That was a good one. Harper, what'd you have from it?
Yeah. I was wondering if he was wearing a horseman shirt. I guess he was, huh?
Yeah, it was. It was one of the ones from that time period.
Do you think when he said when back in the 80s, like this meant something, but like in the 90s, it meant something different? What do you think he meant by that?
Well, he was kind of leading in when he talked. Because, see, he mentioned the 80s, and immediately what came to my mind, even though he kind of downplayed that what it meant in the 90s, I think he started that by saying it meant this in the 80s is because then he goes into Breaking Bones. And we all know the bones they broke in the 80s. So I don't know if he was really taking a shot at what it became in the 90s or if he was just saying, you know, it's been around for a while. I think he was still trying to make it sound positive. I don't think he was trying to make it sound like once it got to the 90s, it was a bad thing, even though we know what happened in the 90s. And I mean, heck, they left and went to fucking WWF. And so I don't know. It's kind of hard to say. I mean, definitely I thought more than anything he was saying that, hey, in the 80s, you know, we know what this symbol meant with the horsemen, and we know about the bones we broke. And I think that's the main, to me, that was the main takeaway from it. Because if you, again, you know the history, you know what happened to Dusty's broken bones.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Morton's face getting broken, essentially. We're actually right at that point right now on the NWA Saturday Night show. So I think that's what I thought, you know, to answer the question. Anything else, Harper, from it?
Dude, when he put those fucking four fingers up, you're like, oh, yeah. That's it right there. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. Amen to that. Doc, anything else from you?
What if they'd have brought out JJ for this, too?
God.
Let's fight the football here.
Well, we've said it. The only thing you could have done bigger was bring out Rick.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're a couple weeks into it now, but that would have been the only thing. Okay, so after that, the next match is for the Beat the Champ TV title. It's Tim Horner versus Bobby Eaton. The funniest thing to me about this match was that Dutch and Bob sat there for the first 3 minutes talking about everything but this match. Bob Cottle says when the match starts, "We've got a whale of a match going right now," and not even 30 seconds later, they're talking about the Bluegrass Brawl. They're talking about other miscellaneous topics. They're talking about the matches from the Bluegrass Brawl that are going to take place. There is no talk about this whale of a match that's taking place. Finally, 5 minutes in, Bobby Eaton wins when Cornette cracks Horner in the head with his racket. I loved it. Doc, your thoughts on this match?
Well, we got a match here with the two best talkers in the business.
Okay. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Please explain.
Eaton and Horner, known far and wide for their promo skills. I say that to say, you know, but that's okay because the match was solid enough, and maybe that's why they talked about other shit, is that those two guys could keep people entertained in the ring because, you know, we do say of all Horner's attributes, he could work that style, and so and he's in there with Eaton, who we know how underrated Eaton is.
Amen. I agree there.
So maybe that was the reason for that. But have you ever seen a ref pull off a leapfrog like that near the
ring? Yeah, man.
I popped my ass off.
Yeah.
Hey, man, the man's athletic, shit. Got some athleticism there.
I thought that was awesome. I thought it helped sell the ending. Just really, really, really good stuff
but
there.
You know you've heard Cornette say this before about Mark Curtis, though. Mark Curtis was like a good athlete. Right. I mean, he wasn't. Go ahead.
But I'm saying, that's something you just don't see.
Oh, no. Yeah, I agree. I wasn't saying that you see it. My point was you were dealing with somebody in Mark Curtis who actually, I mean, I don't want to spoil anything. He was a good worker. He could wrestle is my point. So that's all I meant by that.
Yeah, I get it.
Okay. No, we're good there. But Harper, what did you have from the match? Anything?
Yeah, this was fun to watch.
Yeah, it's you had two real good wrestlers in this thing.
Yeah. And when
go ahead,
that fucking leapfrog shit, I was like, what the fuck? And he fucking leaped them with both of them.
Right. He cleared both of them there.
Yeah.
Shit, I'd have to watch it again. I don't know if I remember that. But okay. That's Mark Curtis, though, man. Mark Curtis was an agile dude. 150 pounds. All 150 pounds of him. So, okay. Anything else from the match?
No.
All right. I don't have the timestamp on a local promo. Did you have something from that one? Because my note only said it was average. This is just an attempt to get the folks into the building. But, Doc, do you have anything from it?
I've got a different note.
What'd you have?
Did you notice that these days we've bumped Horner from a microphone lately?
It's been 3 weeks.
We said it when Tracy came in. We were like, man, he just slid down the card some. Well, then Arn comes in. I mean, he's PBL has to defend himself against Sullivan. I mean, Horner has slid down the card.
Yeah, because if you notice, a lot of them slid down. Fucking Dixie Dynamite slid down. And it's like a Horner has taken his spot.
Right.
Think about this. What's Horner involved in right now?
Night Stalker.
That's it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Forgot about that.
Remember when he brought the dumbbell out, Harper, and then he in the step stool piece of wood type gimmick.
Yeah.
And then that week you said, "Fuck, he's like a cartoon. What's he gonna bring out next? A fucking iron, you know, a hot iron. What's he gonna bring next?
A
what the fuck next?
Bill.
Yeah, right." But he's not involved in anything.
He's
which is probably a good thing at this point, because we're not missing anything by him not being there.
Well, we're not cutting our own promos on him as much as we used to, but notice how the scores of the shows are trending upwards.
Yeah, for real. Okay. So that was your note when I asked you about Primetime Brian Lee and the Rock and Roll Express local promo?
Yeah, I didn't have anything specifically from them other than his absence, because he used to be the guy that cut the local promos there.
God damn, was he a lot of times with the Rock and Roll Express. No kidding. Okay,
right.
So what we do have, though, after that local promo, and if you want to watch it, it's online, we do have Jim Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies come out, and let's listen to that.
Here's Jim Cornette, the Heavenly Bodies. We got a new television champion, courtesy of this man right here, Jim Cornette.
You're your own champion now. Give me my belt back, man. Come on.
Hey, come on now. Hey, wait a minute. Hey, come on. Wait a minute. You keep that belt, Bobby. You keep that check. Shut up.
Check.
Quit.
I want that too.
You're exposing everything.
Here, Bobby, you can hold my belt.
I won't come.
Oh, heavens.
Would you please? Let me just say this. You know all these genetic defects out here? They've heard and they've seen a lot of stuff in this program. Arn Anderson out here. Running off at the mouth. Stud Stable runs off at the mouth. Quit. I'll tell you what's going to happen. The greatest combination in wrestling. Tom Pritchard, Stan Lane, and beautiful Bobby Eaton, the Heavenly Bodies, this Friday night in Pikeville, Kentucky, at that Bluegrass Brawl, brother. We're going to take care of some business. We're going to get the Stud Stable out of our hair. We're going to get rid of the Rock and Roll Express. And if we have to in the process, we're going to take care of Arn Anderson, too. Street fight rules. You ask anybody. The Heavenly Bodies, since the formation of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, have never lost a Smoky Mountain street fight. Yeah. But now, for the first time ever, there's three teams and three men on each team. Nine guys going crazy. But when the smoke clears, the dust settles, and the bell rings, the Heavenly Bodies will be standing there with their hands in the air. The Smoky Mountain Tag Team title, the Beat the Champ TV title, all the money, all the gold, all the women, all the glory, and Jim Cornette calling the shots. Bluegrass Brawl, Pikeville, Kentucky, this Friday night. You've never seen anything like it, and you never will again.
Looks to me like you have to get all these guys on the same tune.
Everybody's in tune. Yeah. You're just instigating, just like all the rest of these people out there. If they would leave it alone, stuff like that wouldn't happen.
Friday night, fans.
You come with me.
In Pikeville, Kentucky. And that's going to wrap it up for this week. And we'll see you next week. And until then.
Before y'all comment on the promo, did y'all see what was going on to the left when Stan took the belt from Bobby Eaton and the check was sitting on the belt and Stan stuffed the check in his jacket?
No.
And Bobby notices that Stan tried to steal his check, and he's like, come on, dude. And he just makes a motion like, what the fuck? And Stan's like, oh, fuck, he caught me, and he gives him his check back. It was a hidden gem in that exchange. It was a complete hidden gem in that entire exchange. That was great. But anyway, I had to point that out. So, Doc, what did you think about the promo?
My line was, we're going to have all the money, all the gold, all the women, all the glory. What else could you want?
For real. For real.
All the booze, I guess.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Harper, what did you have from it?
I found this entertaining with a fighting over the belt.
I said it when they started. How many basketballs are there to go around?
And fucking Stan's like, here, you can hold mine.
He tells him that. That's what I'm saying. So he tells him that, and then during the promo, Bobby puts the check on the top of the belt in between the plate and the leather. Stan takes it back from him like a minute in, and while Stan looks to be, I mean, while Bobby looks to be doing something else, that's when Stan tries to steal it. And Bobby notices when he gets the belt back, there's no check on it. And he's like, what the fuck, dude? And Stan's like, Stan makes a gesture like, fuck, you got me, bro. And he gives it back to it. It was like that part of the promo. And I think I saw a GIF or a GIF of this from at Dean Wrestling on Twitter a while back. That, I think it was him. That fucking promo, that unhidden, like, or that hidden gem was like one of the best parts of the promo. I like the conflict because you're right. It is funny. Like, Doc hasn't gotten to this point yet with his kids. Maybe he has. Where, well, no, maybe you have gotten to this point. Dude, Doc, yours are like mine. They're 3 years apart. They start fucking fighting over everything. Every fucking thing. They were like three. They're like three kids right now. They're like kids right now just fighting. And Cornette is like the parent. Like, God damn, y'all. Will y'all just get along? We got a great thing going here. Chill the fuck out. And they just they can't do it. They can't resist. They're like children. They're just going to keep fighting. I don't know, Doc. Have you had that happen yet?
I must be a much better parent than you are because I don't have that problem.
Well, yours are a lot younger, and you're you.
And
you
I'm a much better parent. I get it.
Whatever. Yeah, he's saying that, but he's reached that point. He's
hey, you win an award just for sticking around. Your people don't always stick around to parent their children, right?
Yeah. Wow.
Will you stop?
I had deleted that one off the soundboard. I'm glad I put it right back on.
Jesus.
I'm going to piss you off right now, though.
Catch me outside. How about that?
You're the one that,
you don't like that one.
You're the one that told me we should be more racist in wrestling, so I was just taking your expert words.
Hey, bro.
Busting, you know, baby doll's guts out.
What does that have to do with what we're talking about?
Well, you bust some guts out.
You just got nervous and started playing. You just got nervous and started playing shit. You ain't got shit to say.
I think you're a racist fucking prick, is what you are.
Well, okay.
I mean, you just basically fucked it all. Yeah, I take care of my kids, asshole.
They got Jordans on.
They get to ride with me in my $75,000 car to go pick up our government cheese.
That's nice, Doc. That's real nice. All right, Doc. So let's do some disability checks here. I got to give this one some thought, man. This one slid down for me, obviously. I really got to give it a 7. Mm-hmm. Doc, you.
It's hard, but you did it wrong. It is hard because we've been high up on the mountain with Arn, and last week was such
That's the problem.
Last week was such just a pop the territory with violence episode. But I'm going to say that you're completely lost your mind because you got the studs, you got a fireball, you get Taz for the first time.
Oh, that's true.
You get Dirty White Boy out in Central Park. You get...
oh, shit. I forgot about all that.
You got Down and Dirty. You got Arn cutting a promo. You got Eaton and Horner actually having a good match. Horner loses his belt. The shit at the end with the Heavenly Bodies. Give me a 7.7, pal.
Okay. Harper, what about you?
I was going to go 7.5.
See?
I mean, we're not that far
Harper, off. How come Harper and I are always right next to each other, and you're always the outlier?
Harper goes last all the time, so he fucking waits to hear what we're going to do. And that's how right. He assesses his grade.
It's like the college football fucking overtime. Y'all go first.
Yep. That way you got to know if you're going to go for two.
No. This is you one more time being just ridiculously hard on Harper. When we started, you were like, I don't even know if he can do this because I don't think he can watch the shows and take notes and actually participate in this.
Nobody said
that. And he's the breakout star. He's the breakout star of all of this.
I didn't go to
Jake's. That's great, though. And I'm happy for you. But what happens if she gets on the court against, I don't know, Djokovic or Rafael Nadal or Roger Federer? What happens? Who's taking a piss?
Hopper's over there.
Oh, God. God. Hit the mute button, you savage.
You all right?
Jesus.
That's the person that you said that you're defending right now, talking about. I said couldn't take notes and couldn't do another show. He took a piss on air and then told us, "You all right?"
Harper,
who's taking a piss? Hit the mute button, you savage. Okay.
Hit the mute button next time, buddy. Other than that, you're doing
great.
That was
fun. Best moment in show history, in my opinion. Harper taking a piss on air. It was so good, I had to throw it on YouTube. Oh, boy. Speaking of YouTube, check it out, tinyurl.com/BTTYouTube. Got lots of good stuff up there, lots of the Cornette stuff if you missed it. You can either download the shows in its entirety, or you can go there and catch the quick bites of it all. Also, check out our Patreon episodes. We've been doing these, I've been doing these world-class shows, and Harper and Doc joined me for a recent one. The way to get access to it is tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. Please do so. It's a great way to support the show. Doc, let's do some government cheese now. Government cheese. I'm kind of torn. It's either going to be Arn or, well, no. Fuck that. Dirty White Boy gets it for what he did.
Oh, fuck yeah.
You too, Hopper?
Uh-huh. The fucking gun.
Yeah, the gun did it all.
The pistol.
It's the gun. He pulled out a pistol on TV. Like he was going to shoot him. Doc, what about you?
Sullivan threw a fireball. Arn cut a promo. Fuller put on the Fuller leg lock and then cut a good promo. Apparently,
yes,
Stan Lane was trying to steal people's checks. Eaton took the belt off of Horner. But none of those guys pulled out a goddamn pistol in their promo. So, again, lots of candidates, lots of good times going on. But, Jesus, that was just unexpected and awesome and crazy. And I'm ready for the chain match. I'm ready for the nine-man match. I'm ready for all this shit to hit ahead. I'm ready for Sullivan and PBL. I'm ready for this shit to hit ahead. It's all culminating to the Bluegrass Brawl. This, I think, was the go-home show, or there's maybe one more before the go-home show, but this shit's culminating.
Yeah, I gotta look at it, man. This is some crazy stuff. So I agree. It's hard to not give it to Dirty White Boy when he pulls out a fucking pistol on TV and then puts it in his waistline with his camo and black shirt and Yankee hat and chain around his neck. And then he proceeds to – dude, I popped when he hit the flower bag. And he's like, that's going to be like Tracy Smothers' body. Whop! Pop!
I liked it when he said pulled out the pineapple and said he liked his girls prickly and bushy.
Bushy! He sure did. All right, we're going to get ready to get out of here. Don't forget to use our Amazon referral link. It's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Great way to support the show on an ongoing basis. Go get Bobby Blaze's books. Our friend Bobby Blaze, who's going to be coming up on a future show because he's about to make his Smoky Mountain Wrestling debut in just a few more episodes. I don't know if y'all realize that. Bobby's coming up, his actual TV debut. He had worked, from what Bobby told me, he had worked some house shows up until this point. Like, he had been on some non-televised events. But he's about to make his TV debut coming up in the next couple weeks. We're on 61. So I think we're about 4 episodes away, but he's coming up. So Bobby's going to be on the show when he does appear. I've already talked to him about it, and he said, sure, he definitely would do it again. So go buy his book. Again, it's Pin Me, Pay Me. It's just one of them, but it's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. And use our referral link whenever you purchase stuff from Amazon. Give it to your friends, you know, wives, girlfriends, the women in the family who do the shopping. You can buy anything and everything from Amazon, so please use it. And become a patron, like I said, tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. Want to say thanks to the Hall of Fame patrons, at Natural Hacksaw, Thin Man Within, Slider91US, Justin Rasmussen, ShepDaddy32, USC49ers Dodger, at Gerald Green III, at TOG94, at SV Pageant, at Martin Howell 71, at Tim Morecci, CodeMan822, at Godbold Unreal, at Unconvinced Ray. Thanks for being Hall of Famers. Check out our merch stores on TeePublic and Pro Wrestling Tees. The links are in the show notes below. I'm not going to mention them now, but check them out. And that's it. I'm tired. I'm tuckered out. We've been doing this 3.5 hours now today. Doc, you got anything else?
No.
This is a half of a fucking work day for this shit.
Now, I'm one of these guys that can't just fuck something up. I got to fuck it all the way up.
Okay. Boy, you ain't lying about that, Harper. I'm tired. Harper, hit the tagline and take us home.
Fucking book it, bitch. Fuck.